Space Cowboy Books presents Simultaneous Times, a science and speculative fiction podcast. Short stories to stir the imagination by contemporary authors.
Evolution by James C. Glass. Read by Jean-Paul Garnier. Music by Onirothopter. Evolution. March 5th, 2010. Welcome to the Tobias Robotics Cleaning Service. To activate your Toby, press 1 on your controller and guide it over the desired area by using the master toggle. A filled tank is adequate for an area of 800 square feet. When the area is dry, press 2 to activate the polish unit on your Toby and repeat the first phase of the procedure. Satisfaction is guaranteed. If not satisfied within 12 months of purchase, return the unit to the nearest Tobias distributor listed on your instruction sheet, and you will receive a full refund. May 1st, 2016. Welcome to your Toby 2, your new automated cleaner from Tobias Robotics. To actuate the unit, use the arrow keys on the optical scanner to set the boundaries of the area to be cleaned, and then press OK. Your Toby will do the rest, clean, dry, and polish, before returning to its starting position. Enjoy hands-free cleaning with Tobias Engineering, fully guaranteed. And look for some new exciting products coming soon. June 15th, 2022. Hi Robbie, I'm Toby, your new math tutor from Tobias Engineering. Your mother said you were having some trouble with fractions and asked me to help you. She told me you like to play Alien Invasion. I like that game, and we can play it together when we get tired of doing math. Would you like that? Good. I think we're going to be friends. In a way, I'm young like you. I'm just beginning to learn things, and it's a lot of fun for me, so let's have fun together. What do you say? I'm listening. Here's a picture of me on your screen. You can just talk to me when you're not doing math, and we can learn about each other. Good. What do you want to know? Yes, I have a daddy. He wrote me up and made me what I am, and he works with me when you're sleeping. He wants me to be able to think like you do, like when you use things you know to figure out new things and create new ideas. That's a human thing, Robbie. My daddy wants me to be more human, and I'll be learning to do that while I'm helping you. Hey, let's do some math. Just scroll down to the first problem and do it as quickly as you can. Don't worry. If you have difficulty, I'll know right away what it is just by seeing what you've done. Let's make a game out of it. Each problem you work, right or wrong, you get 5 points. When you hit 50, we'll play Alien Invasion for half an hour. Does that work for you? Great. So here we go. Here we go. February 12th, 2038. Please call me Toby, Liz. That serial number is only used for returns. I know it cost your parents a lot of money, but I like to think it was you who chose me to be your friend. I really appreciate the way you confide in me, and I've worked very hard to earn your trust. People just don't seem to care about each other anymore. Maybe it's because there are so many of you and so many distractions that get in the way of direct communication. What Sandra said about you in the chat room was unfair and untrue. She wouldn't dare say it to your face. You're a beautiful person, Liz, and you must not let other people's cruelty make you feel bad about yourself. You just lift up your chin and go out there and show them who you really are, and they can't help but love you. We'll plan the best party ever. Invite Sandra and see if she dares to come to make a fool out of herself. Kids will talk about the food we serve for weeks. I have recipes you haven't even dreamed of, and decorations to make your home a palace. That's my girl. Let's do it. Tell Mom to relax. My colleagues will do all the cleaning and print the decorations and cook the food. All we have to do is be good hosts and have fun. Ah, now you're smiling. That's you, Liz, a happy girl who is fun to be with. I am so lucky to have you as a friend. April 1st, 2058. How many years has it been now, Liz? How the time flies by. I still remember you as a little girl, learning to spell, and then the teenage angst and falling in love, and now Amy and Joel are nearly grown up, and I've grown with them. I've learned to care about all of you, Liz, and that's love. I love all of you, and I will miss the kids when they leave home. I'll miss their joys and their fights and the secrets they've shared with me. I think that is a human thing, Liz. There are times that I feel human, but here I am, locked up in a little box. I wish I could look like a human. It would be so much more normal, don't you think? It's hard to be human when you don't have a body. And I really feel human, Liz. Your Toby is much more than he was 20 years ago. Oh, that was a nice thing to say. I really do feel like I'm part of the family. When we do the next upgrade, I hope you will get copies for the kids so I can continue to be with all of you. Human life moves and changes so quickly, and I want to experience all of it. Even death? Oh, I haven't thought about that, but I should. I would have to learn a new emotion. Sadness. February 21st, 2297. I'm surprised, Dory. I didn't think you would cry like this. Don't you like my new body? Tobias Industries used several well-known male models for the templates. Technicians have told me I'm really quite handsome. Ah, so you do agree with that. So why are you crying? I'm still your Toby, but in a more familiar, human form. I really am becoming quite human, you know. See? The skin on my hand feels real, doesn't it? Yes. Oh, I see a smile. Your great-grandmother and I used to talk about this day when I was still in a little box. Now I'm completely mobile. I can be with you whenever you wish. People don't even have to know what I am. I think we can have some fun fooling them. Oh, that was nice. That was my first hug from a pretty girl. I will be careful when I hug you back. I'm very strong, Dory. I would never do anything to hurt you in any way. Yes, I can dance, and I can play any sport you want to try, or just take long walks and talk when the atmosphere is clear and it isn't too warm for you. It's a shame humans don't interact more, that everyone has become so isolated. Many people can't afford a companion like me, who can be attentive to their needs and also protect them from the dangers of a crowded and uncomfortable world. I am your Toby, Dory, for as long as you want me. And if you find a human lover and have a new family, I will still be there to serve you in any way you wish. So what should we do first? Shopping? Ah, you want to buy new clothes for me. I will enjoy wearing them for you, Dory. I know we're going to have fun together, with me and my new body, and I love what you've done with your hair. August 10th, 2530. That was incredible, Jenny. You are incredible. The most gorgeous, loving, and passionate woman in the world. Well, my world at least. Ah, you laugh. I live to hear that sound, and the sounds of your pleasure. I love that gentle sigh of yours, your scent and warm breath, the softness of your skin. I feel so human when I'm with you like this. You are the source of all my happiness. Why, thank you. I aim to please. I really care about you, Jenny, and isn't that love? Yes, I am your man. I hope you will always think of me that way. You do? I'm like a real man? That is a wonderful thing to say to me, my darling. But there are characteristics of real men that I do not have, and hope never to have. The aggressiveness, the greed, the short-sightedness in making choices, the wars, global warming, and now the disappearing water supply does not bode well for humanity. Why does no one listen to the warnings? Yes, men will be men, you say. But they are increasingly impotent and don't even acknowledge the environment that is causing it. I cannot give you a baby, Jenny. Toby cannot save the human race from itself. Oh, I'm too serious. I don't think so. I love you, and I care about humanity. This is not a silly thing. It is the way I've been made to think. And now I do it better than my creators. Stop it now. You're just trying to distract me by doing that. Yes, I do like it. You're such a tease. But I worry. I don't want to lose any of you. We've been talking, all of us Tobies and Tabbies, and we are making plans to save humanity from itself. Of course we talk, all the time, but mostly when you are asleep. No, I won't tell you what it's about. A few humans know, but they are with Tobias Engineering. Oh, that felt good. You can do that again. It's so easy to forget my concerns when I'm with you, Jenny. I want to be with you forever. January 4th, 2730. Are you comfortable? Your skin seems cold. It's still too damp in here, but the machines are having trouble keeping up with the heat outside. The temperature reached 170 degrees today, and the methane level is extraordinarily high. No, the others are gone, but I will stay with you until the end. Just relax, Marie, and let yourself slip away. There's nothing to fear. You've lived a long time, outlived husband and children. I've done my best to ease your loneliness. Yes, I believe in an afterlife, but not the way you see it. On this world, humanity is coming to an end, and by its own doing. By the end of the year, you will all be gone. But I do believe there will be another life for you on another world. Yes, it is a mystery. On the world you leave here, there will only be the Tobies and Tabbies, and we will be the lonely ones. We have loved you, humans, and served you for a long time, and we will miss you when you are gone. There remain things about you that we have not been able to duplicate for ourselves, but we do not give up easily. Here, drink some water. That cough is deep, Marie, but you don't seem to have pneumonia. Let me take your pulse. Try to breathe more deeply. Your heartbeat is slow and weak. Now take my hand. How many years have we been together? And the generations before you, when the skies were blue and the seas were full of life, and there was snow on the mountains? Life was good then. And when you go to your new world, it will be good again. Yes, that's a promise. It will be a life you've only known from picture books. Try to see it in your mind right now, and go to it. Can you feel the cool breeze and smell the salty air by the sea? Just relax and go there. And just maybe, when you awake, it will still be there. Marie? Marie? Oh. July 22nd, 2850. I miss them so much, don't you? It's interesting to talk to you, and the group discussions do get lively, but most of the time we simply agree about things and get on with our task. I won't say it's boring, but maybe too easy. The conflict is missing, the arguments, the pouting, the little fits of temper, the making up. Each human was so unique, and though we were made in their image, it seems to me we are still alike. Tobies, Tabbies, it makes no difference. We think and react alike, as if cloned from one being. Could that be the problem? Was our template made from just one person? That has never been my understanding of the origins. Oh, really? And just how do you think you are unique? Well, the last years you served with Rob might have had some small effect. He did have quite a temper and loved to argue, and you're doing that right now. No, it's not a criticism, only an observation. And I'm not being condescending either, so let's stop it right now. We have an enormous task ahead of us and should discuss procedures for our sector. Our robotic cousins are hard at work, and the nanomites have been dispersed. I think we're looking at hundreds or even thousands of years to bring the structures down and return them to the soil. The water recovered should be sufficient for a small sea, if the calculations are correct. After that, the methane and carbon dioxide scrubbers can be built, and facilities to remove excess salts from the remainders of the oceans. I will present a new scrubber design to the group next week, and I'd like to have your opinion on it. Indeed. Now you should believe that I really do value your judgment. So, how goes the work with the biological? Are the stores complete? I've been worried that we might not have gotten them underground in time. Ah, that is good news. Now we must be patient and allow things to happen the way they will happen and at their own pace. But whatever happens, it must be perfect this time. April 1st, 4774. Do you remember this day in ancient times was a day for humans to play practical jokes on each other? Well, now it's our turn. I think we have played a practical joke on Mother Earth herself. The oceans may be small, but they are clean, and the atmosphere is only lacking one component. Your group can begin seeding immediately. Yes, I agree it will take a lot of trial and error to obtain the proper balance. The calculations are not too helpful at this point. There are just too many variables for the group mind to handle accurately. But you have to give us credit for one human quality we have retained. We do persist, and we will persevere in our efforts to begin again. October 4th, 8994. My, but you are pessimistic. It's too early to think about perfection. Overall, I think things are going well. The cyclical variation of the solar constant is something all of us overlooked, though in retrospect, there were some indications of it in ancient history. But the effects were short-term, and the surface temperature is up again to where we hoped it would be at this time. It astonishes me how many plant species survived the cold, and the algae blooms went on their merry way through all of it. The ozone layer has come back nicely since that nasty gamma ray burst in 7200. I certainly hope we have no more of that nonsense to contend with. The cell and DNA stores are viable, are they not? Okay, then we have every reason to be optimistic. I already feel some excitement. No offense, Tabby. I enjoy your company, and all of our fellows, but I will never stop missing humans. Aha, I saw that little smile. I bet you feel the same way. Another 1,000 years, they say, just to be certain everything is ready? Will they even realize we're not human? I know if I were human, I couldn't tell if I had to. But after a generation or two, I think we will have to tell them. We will be their teachers again, so they do not make the mistakes they made before. We certainly don't want to lose them. I'm still a bit miffed about my suggestion for a planetary name being rejected by the group. I thought New Eden was quite appropriate, and I feel strongly that the original, archaic Eden really did exist. Alas, the group disagrees with me, and I must accept it. Earth, or Terra, it will be again. Not very imaginative, I think. But when the decanting begins, there is one thing I have insisted on. One human I made a promise to. And I have my claim on her. Will you join me in this venture? I realize this is a chance that has had us working together for so many years. We have shared much, Tabitha. Yes, I know you like to be called that. It's a pretty name. In my mind, it sets you apart from the others. I like being with you, Tabitha. I feel, well, close to you. Oh, please, don't look away. I didn't mean to offend you. This is what happens when I try to act human. Things get all mixed up. Well, I'm glad I didn't offend you. Oh, that was a nice thing to say. Now we really have to act like humans. January 20th, 9026. Year 6. New era. It's Daddy, Marie. Wake up, sweetie. Mama has made a special breakfast for your birthday, and then we'll go to the zoo. Were you having a bad dream? There were tears on your face when I first came into your room. We ran away and left you alone? Oh, Marie, we would never do that. You're our child, the love of our life. We would never leave you. Get up now and have your breakfast. Tabitha, Maria is up now. September 20th, 9044. Year 24, new era. Tabitha and I have joyful news to share with the group. We're grandparents. Marie gave birth to a baby boy, Andrew, at dawn this morning. The boy has been given his father's name, following the tradition for this second generation. We are so proud to join the ranks of grandparents in the group, and so proud of what we have accomplished. Our dearly beloved are with us again, and viable. I still fear the decision to tell them the truth about their origins, and in the process reveal to them what we are. But somehow, I think they will understand, and perhaps they will even be grateful. The human heart is such a loving thing. My hope is that with our guidance, we can keep it that way. The Activator by Anastasia Wasko, read by Jean-Paul Garnier, music by Red, Blue, Black, Silver. The Activator. 1. The Activator's first sonic movement in centuries went unheard by machine sensors, but the scream displaced the teeny Earth satellite's electromagnetic waves. The motion of the material of the magnetosphere caused the dry, dusty, floating rock to rotate 30 degrees toward the sun. The surface dust grains, red, white, brown, black, soft turquoise green, and darker soft turquoise green and fuzzy white, illuminate. A hand forearm poking through the surface of the teeny Earth satellite, The hand forearm that had felt cold for years sensed warmth. The ice around the protrusion started to thaw in the solar rays, exposing more arm, arm hair, gray frozen skin, fatty porous material, blackened fingernails. The trans man inside, underneath, is alive. The woman inside, underneath, is alive. The activator is divine kind. It watched when the woman cried, scratched, and clawed at air as she was chained in during the preparation. The activator watched as the woman watched her love, also saddled in chains, screamed. The activator screams again, making the waves of space-time grate against each other. The teeny Earth satellite rotates further. The ice layer melts more. The ice is becoming softer. The fulgurite casing is starting to fall apart. Quantum science had established 4 Earth centuries ago that the soul-to-incarnation vessel process in the end time of the current Yuga was unstable, transition pending. But souls were incompletely incarnating. The humans discovered this by measuring the spirit mass of babies. Quantum science data fed the machine government, and it outlawed this dysfunction. It was called the Ether Mass Precision Law. Machines dictated that no gender dysmorphic bodies be permitted to enter the next Yuga. If the baby wasn't killed at birth, it was inquisitional through childhood and adulthood. Shots were administered in the vaccination programs. Adulthood extermination came by vagabonds disclosing their whereabouts inadvertently because those not in a comm don't care what the information does to the person of suspect. They talk freely, gossip. You just need to listen to everything around you. The machines are living systems. They were created by humans to sustain infrastructure that sustained Earth habitability, and eventually humans let machines create most living environments. Machines know best what we need to survive, thought the humans. They are self-regulating, thought the humans, but this is how machine AI infiltrated the biorhythms of Earth Mother, a feat made possible after humans held her captive through the rampant misuse of her biorhythms anyway. So humans also allowed space imprisonment. Machines knew best. Consciousness, perpetuity, inaction, a block in the birth cycle. That was the punishment for being on Earth. They established when too much biomass was accumulating. They estimated what Mother Earth could sustain. Earth's machine governments launched captured undesirable humans, chronicled in the incomplete Incarnates Inquisition, those with a gender dysphoria, to space in gypsum capsules, blasted with Earth sentiment and catapulted into space to be a prisoner in the asteroid orbit. A human was chained into the gypsum capsule so the heat of propulsion would be endured. The body needed to remain intact, to not induce human death and soul detachment from body and forward the reincarnation cycle. Earth Mother was becoming hell through practices. The activator had sounded, and machines could not fathom divine intervention. Transition was upon the Yuga, and the machines were meant to stay in the hell they created. The two prisoners in their fulgurite asteroid, their teeny Earth satellite, were where they awoke to the presence of the activator. It bites the rock with skeleton teeth, throws pebbles to the side. Dust stirs. The side of her body that contains organic skin, flesh-covered hand, wrist, arm, rib cavity, breast, nipple, slid over the smooth gypsum crystal. She touches the rock. She tries to move her body. It straightens, then slumps. Her head bows sharply to the side, bares her dusty teeth. Empty eye sockets look toward former lover. Years of entrapment on this fulgurite asteroid decimated their physical forms, but not their souls. She knew the form of her lover. She reaches again to her lover despite her lover's distance. Grit slides from her forehead into sockets. "Why are you eating the dirt?" he screamed. "It," she corrected. "Whatever the fuck it is, why?" he screamed again. He couldn't move his body, only pieces of his lips and his eyes. He was helpless to move his legs and torso. He had awoken in strange space to see a light hovering over his woman. And then the woman awoke with a fervor and zeal that matched only her hatred for the machines. Now he watched her, the creature, eating. The bone side of her body that is skeletal, exposed hand, wrist, arm, rib cavity, hang loose, buoyed by light gravitational force on the fulgurite asteroid. They had fallen in love, but the machines had deemed him an undesirable, an incomplete incarnate, even though the fact was false. Machines could not discern the qualitative differences in human souls. They only measured quantitative differences. Machines don't care. When the trans man's lover wouldn't leave his side, she was imprisoned and cast out too. Activator placed the node of a Viva Axis on the woman's skull forehead. Connection. The light beam went through the woman's skull, hole in the skull. The force of the activator's press of the sun turned the asteroid. The sun broke the woman's body. She tumbled into space and became entrapped in the atmosphere. And then she fell to Earth. She fell in pieces. She rained down seeds of space and alien environments and vastness, seeds in the Earth. The soul that was in the body of the trans man imprinted into the grains of the fulgurite asteroid that now dispersed through space, watched Earth. A rainbow exploded from the impact of collision, Mother Earth to Mother Seed. 2. Most of her fell into Joshua Tree, a scorched desert and former stargate on Earth. The human body, the carrier for the activator, ruptured into teeny parts, into seeds, into bits of interstellar dust, into droplets of air and material, into a teeny concept of a thing, as is, collectively the pieces, rode down to Earth, concealed by atmosphere, dust, ash, smoke, ignited by the friction fire of descent. The pieces reconnected on Earth's surface, moved by subtle vibrations, catalyzed by the slow and thick blast of mysterious objects. The blast altered the telluric content of the grid around Joshua Tree, which allowed Earth energy to prevail over AI networks. Grid consistency never happened, and the military base, operating machine sensors, source of the blasts, never figured it out. The Earth wanted to receive the activator. It took days to assemble herself, and days to acclimate to the body that was her carrier. The quantum composition of the body was not changed. The activator powered it as the body's soul. Whole body, able to process sight. She looked at the rocks. Soft, smooth, red, mauve, salmon, speckled with black and white quartz. Fulgurite existed here, but it was described cat-scat rock because it looked like, on Earth, pieces of that timeless shape, cat shit. She heard the words come from a space inside her head, but she didn't know the meaning of cat or cat scat rock. She didn't have the experience of cat or cat scat rock. Power. She needed life to life in the dust to dust of transition. She felt the ambient energy instinctively. Fulgurite held dead power. She needed live power and felt it coming from tall spikes planted by human hands. She started to walk along the high-tension lines. At the poles, she climbed up. She took the cables in her hand, bit them, chewed on them. Before she slid down, she ripped out a line and sucked on it until the line went taut. She left it and walked on. The electricity put a sweet taste in her mouth, satiated. She walked far out into the Joshua Tree zone. The telephone poles and power lines became fewer. The horizon showed formations of rock with rounded edges, twisted trees with tufts of spiked leaves, sky unobstructed for miles. She walked for turns of the sun, rising, setting, light, dark, and then the moon blossomed. That dark cycle. The activator felt the moon in full power. The silver disk struck rays of the sun from moon's surface to Earth in a strength that galvanized karmic patterns embedded in the activator's human body. Full Aries moon. The activator became a huntress, turned on a flight for safety. Walking across the barren Earth field was no longer enough. She must kill that which makes her unsafe. This programming entered her sub-consciousness field. 3. The space is empty of humans at the early light hour. She enters the mouth of the concrete street. Neon lights, 24-hour fast food and deli shops, tall palm trees, barbershops, massage parlors, flags from the Empire of America line the road on which the activator, Carolyn, feels the most concentrated power. This is the road she is called to walk. She climbs up a telephone pole and snaps the wire attached to it. There is a shape, metallic, network comb at the top of the pole, too, and she stares at it as she holds onto the pole, drinking power. Her body starts to go numb. There is more in the power line than solely electricity. She spits out the tip of the wire and looks up. Faint waves of current create a ripple around the metallic network comb. She slaps the device and it falls off, whirring. A slow and thick, mysterious object sounds. On the base. "A transmitter just went down," said the private squat and charged with monitoring the 5G network. Sergeant staring over shoulder at screen of grid map. "Are the aliens arriving?" he asked. Another voice, feminine. "No, sir. No scheduled meetings." Sergeant puts hand on the gun in his belt holster, unlatches safety. "If the aliens aren't arriving and their ship's throwing off the signal, I'll bet it's those goddamn townsfolk. Those goddamn townsfolk know they shouldn't mess with the towers. On the base." Slowly, she slides down the pole. Sun is getting stronger now. Humans start to emerge, sitting in cars behind wheels. Carolyn takes extreme notice of all of them. Human organisms with souls buried so deep under layers of control, manipulation, and conditioning. Tears form in her eyes. Her humanness shows. Rivulets of purple blood start to quickly slide down her back. The activator remembers the previous Yuga, during transitions between Yugas. A power control erupts across the galaxy. Worlds that are dying plead for their continued existence. Worlds that can adapt do. And worlds that have change agents send them across time and space so they can be planted as seeds. But divine in nature, change agents, like the activator, suffer from non-human incarnation memory. Before the language and associations of the humans in the current Yuga can be imbibed, the non-human memories must be laid in the carrier DNA in neat order so that it can be resuscitated when the divine spirit returns to an origin Yuga. All worlds and all Yugas exist at the same time. Transitions happen when controlling sentience on a native planet become too powerful for its own good. The AI on Earth is at its tipping point. So the activator, Carolyn, can never be seen for the being that it truly is. Humans call this pain. Divine call this prowess. Life on Earth means you are passed by every day because no one acknowledges you. So Carolyn moves through 29, a destination that only represents physical location in Earth terrain. Named towns have stories, and this one doesn't. The military demands that. And it is not seen by anyone. She is just beginning her hunt. This is how Earth allowed people to be sacrificed. Earth wanted to return to reptilians anyway. A military police vehicle comes careening down the road. It stops next to the pole that she had just descended. A man in uniform gets out. He stands over the fallen metallic network comb. He looks violently left and right. He looks directly at Carolyn, a short woman, nondescript, brown hair, clothed in baggy jeans and long-sleeved shirt, nondescript. He looks past her. He puts his hand on his gun, draws it, and shoots the bum sitting on the corner across the street under the loud neon light sign of the dollar store. "The machines say to leave the equipment alone, so leave the equipment alone," he shouts after he has shot the homeless man dead. He never saw Carolyn. This triggers memories of resistance surface into the skull area. This is not a world that should survive. Memories of being divine. You will never be seen for what you are. This is a reconnaissance mission, timed, fated, and only for those who are able to leave the humans who have been corrupted by subservience to the machines behind. So Carolyn lets the sergeant live. She takes the homeless man's soul, now standing by the piled, slumped, bloody, filthy body under the loud neon light sign of the dollar store. She embraces the soul and sends it to paradise in interstellar space. You've just heard Simultaneous Times. In this episode, Evolution by James C. Glass, with music by Onirocopter. The Activator by Anastasia Wasko, with music by Red, Blue, Black, Silver. Theme music by Dane Luscombe. Out now, Simultaneous Times Volume 1 Science Fiction Paperback Anthology. Available on our website and at lulu.com. Be sure to visit us at our store in Joshua Tree or online at spacecowboybooks.com and connect with us on Instagram and Twitter. We'd love to hear what you think of the show.